Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, good to have you with us. Hour number two underway on a Tuesday afternoon. So we left you with last hour talking about the NFL.com's draft IQ thing and the most athletic draft classes and talking about Jalen Lane and how he fits in and what you guys are going to love, what you guys are going to love. What was your favorite pick of the ones that the Commanders made? I presume most of you would go with Jalen Lane. Right? Because he's going to be the one that brings the juice, the pop, the sizzle. And that's okay. But you tell me. 301-230-0980. You want to tell me who your least favorite pick was? Fine. Let me give you something else from this draft IQ thing on NFL.com. The Next Gen Stats draft score rankings chart. Anyone want to guess the average score of the first seven draft picks and how they rank team by team? Anyone want to guess who is number one? Not AMAX Giants.
Snap.
Not the Commanders. But, perhaps surprisingly, it was the team that traded out of the number two spot. That's right, the Cleveland Browns. At an 81.1 composite score, or average score, I should say, in terms of the Next Gen Stats draft score rankings chart put on Draft IQ on NFL.com. Number two was the New York Giants. At a 79.7. About a point and a half below the Cleveland Browns. After that, the Seahawks, who obviously draft IQ really liked their class between the most athletic draft class, as we told you about last hour, and now number three on the NGS Next Gen Stats draft score rankings chart, average score of the first seven picks, the Seahawks come in at number three. The Patriots, who were number four on the most athletic draft classes, come in number four on the NGS draft score rankings. The Buccaneers at number five, 76.1. They like the Raiders, too. As we mentioned, the Raiders, number two most athletic class. Here, they're number six. The Falcons, the Titans, the Bears. And did the Commanders make the top 10? And the answer to that is no. The Bengals at 74.6 round out the top 10. Now, you say, well, wait a second. They didn't like the Commanders? How could they not? Adam Peters is God. He stayed true to his board. He knows what he's doing, and he does. For whatever reason, I don't know how they exactly come to this, but Next Gen Stats didn't like them in the top 10. Maybe they were 11. I don't know. So I look right next to it, and there's a chart called Most Productive Draft Classes. I don't know how it differentiates between draft score rankings from Next Gen Stats and most productive draft classes, but, and I'm sensing a theme here, the Cleveland Browns were number one again, just like they were in draft score rankings. And to further the trend, the New York Giants were number two in terms of most productive draft classes, according to NFL.com's Draft IQ. The Patriots, again, they seem to really like what they did, number three. The Seahawks, number four. The Buccaneers, two polls in a row that they are number five. And remember, they went with Omega Ibuka in the first round, and then they added a bunch of defense. The Chiefs, the Falcons, the Chargers, the Rams, and the J-E-T-S, Jets, round out the top 10. So no Commanders outside of the Commanders coming in fifth in terms of the most athletic draft classes, according to Draft IQ, which is an NFL.com thing. Okay. So then I said, well, surely they got good value out of the limited amount of picks. And again, some of this might be because simply they only had five picks as opposed to seven picks. And all three of these charts do the average score of the first seven picks, right? And one of their five picks, well, I mean, all of their five picks happen to be lower in each round. 29, 61, 128, so on and so forth. Next Gen Stats, day one value picks. Number five overall, Mason Graham of Michigan, which, again, if they're saying that, now you kind of start to see, oh, okay, well, why they had the most productive draft class and the draft score rankings, because Draft IQ really likes Mason Graham. And who doesn't? I mean, Mason Graham's going to be good. Number two on this list is Tyler Warren, now of the Indianapolis Colts, formerly of Penn State, at 14 overall. He of the prank calls. I got that confirmed, by the way, yesterday, that through somebody at the NFL, that he was indeed involved in the prank calls that got to Shedeur Sanders. We'll get to that. Number three on this list of day one value picks, according to Next Gen Stats, Jahdae Barron of Texas at 20 overall to the Denver Broncos. Adds to a good secondary already. He was mocked by Daniel Jeremiah and a couple of others late in the draft process, i.e. the final draft, mock draft. He didn't make it there. He went off the board at 20. Don't know if he would have been the pick if he was there. And Josh Connerly was. Seemed like they really like Josh Connerly, but we don't know. Number four on this list, 31st overall to the Philadelphia Eagles, Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. I've heard some not so good things about Jahad Campbell. You talk to people, you hear from people. I've heard some not so good things. We'll see.
Performance-wise or attitude?
More performance-wise, but I think there's questions about both. And Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State, who went 32 overall. Remember, Kansas City and Philadelphia swapped spots, and Washington had already picked Connerly. Kansas City needed a tackle. I guess Washington might be lucky that they didn't jump in. Kansas City didn't jump in front and take Connerly, who they loved. They took Josh Simmons. So those five guys: Mason Graham, five overall; Tyler Warren, 14 overall; Jahdae Barron; Jahad Campbell, 31 overall; and Josh Simmons, 32 overall. The five day one value picks, according to NFL.com's Next Gen Stats Draft IQ. On day two of the draft, surely we're going to find Trey Amos, right? No. NGS, Day 2 Value Picks. Nick Amanawori out of South Carolina to the Seahawks. A express train, let's put it that way. A lot of people with the comparisons to Cam Chancellor. I think he's faster than Cam Chancellor. Donovan Ezeraku went 44 overall. A lot of people thought he would go to the Commanders. They said no. He went 44. What is that, like 14 spots later? Out of BC, the pass rusher. Landon Jackson. Again, the Commanders had a chance to draft him still. From Arkansas, 6'7 and a half, 6'8, long arms. Good run stopper too. 8-9 sacks a year probably. Maybe 10. They had a chance. Buffalo drafted him in the third round at number 72 overall. Ezeraku and Amanawori were second-round picks. Siobhan Revell went to the Cowboys in the third round, 76 overall. That's the second time the Cowboys have shown up on the Next Gen Stats Day 2 value picks. Again, Ezeraku and Revell. And there were some people, like I think it was Pelissero, but I can't remember. I know it was NFL.com that had Revell and the wide receiver that I liked out of where the hell was he from? Oh, gosh. I can't even remember what school. Was it A&M? Probably wasn't A&M. I'm trying to think of his name right now. But anyway, they had him get and Revell getting into the first round and moving up, and Revell lasted all the way until pick 76, third round. And then Jared Wilson, a center from Georgia, goes to the Patriots, third round at 95 overall. So what we're saying here, according to Draft IQ, is the Commanders didn't grade as highly, with the exception of fifth in athleticism of the draft class, for whatever reason they had. And I guess I would ask this. Does that worry you? Does that worry you? And I don't think we should overreact, because they did get a fifth overall score in athleticism. You know how important those RAS scores and the athletic traits are in the game overall, and specifically to Adam Peters. Like, if you asked Adam Peters for his DNA, his identity, his blueprint as a GM, what he's looking for, he's probably going to tell you a football player, a commander. No, he's going to tell you athleticism, one, and best player available in terms of his drafting philosophy, but athleticism and probably work ethic, number two, and maybe versatility after that, right? So they did okay in terms of the top five, but maybe it's because they didn't have enough picks. I don't know. They didn't rank anywhere else in these categories that, again, Draft IQ came up with. Next Gen Stats, draft score rankings, most productive draft classes. Again, they ranked fifth overall in most athletic draft classes. They didn't have any of the value picks day one, day two, according to, again, Draft IQ and Next Gen Stats. That being said, right? That being said, I don't think we should sit here and go, oh my God, they had a terrible draft class. They didn't get an edge. They didn't make a trade. They didn't pick up extra picks. What were they thinking? What were they doing? Here's the thing, guys. Was it a little head-scratching that they didn't do either of those things? Yeah. Yeah. It was. I think everybody would have identified edge as their number one need. And instead, they went out and got an offensive tackle, a corner, a wide receiver slash punt returner, a linebacker, and a running back. Five picks, no edge, no trade. But I would say this, even though some people are going to look at their team needs and say, well, what are they doing? They didn't do any of this. What are they thinking? Listen, again, we have forever wanted a true GM to truly evaluate talent and to do things the right way, the smart way, the common sense way. Unfortunately, they're the non-public way. And we have to take them for what it's worth, right? They said Josh Connerly was easily the best player on their board. I believe they said the same thing on Saturday night about Jalen Lane. Right? So, if we want a general manager and a front office to do things the way most people identify as the right way, best player available, regardless of need, don't reach, don't do anything stupid, get good, solid football players, leaders, athletic guys, guys who can run, guys who can make a difference, then we can't sit here and bitch and shred because they didn't accomplish the two things that most people expected the most. We said that. They did not say that. We said that. They have a different evaluation of their edge guys. In addition, they know there's veterans out there. So I don't think it's fair for us to sit here and say, well, they had a terrible draft because they didn't accomplish their two biggest needs, which was to trade down and get more picks and to get an edge. Was it surprising? Yeah, it was surprising, especially both. Does that mean it was a bad draft class? Absolutely not. All right, let's get to you on the phones, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's squeeze in Marcus and Brandywine here before the timeout, and then we'll get more calls on the other side. What's up, Marcus?
Not much. How are we doing, Rooster?
Good, Marcus. What's going on?
Not much, man. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It was a successful draft. And I think really the uproar was probably because of them not, the Commanders organization not doing with the public. But I was listening to Sheehan earlier, and I think it was Sheehan he had standing on, and he put it in perspective a lot better than I could put it into words. And he was pretty much saying, you know, these guys that they picked were great guys, and you may not get this caliber of player next draft or later on in the draft. So when you match, you know, say you had Connerly, as you go with the first pick, you had Connerly, and let's say you had an edge up there, and you saw and you matched them together, and you felt like Connerly gave you a better option at that spot than this edge could have gave you at his spot. So it's like it makes more sense that way. Like these are things. He didn't swing at the fences on any of these picks. I want to say with the exception of Madrano, and that's probably because I didn't do enough research, but each of these picks I've heard and I've read before the pre-draft and post-draft glowing things about these picks, and it's like because we didn't get an edge or because we didn't trade back, everybody's in an uproar. And I'm like, we're making the team better because it's not better by – a fan standpoint,
right.
You know, of course it was a head scratcher, but even, you know, since it wasn't better, you know, by a fan standpoint, now all of a sudden it's a failure. And it's just like, you know, it's so easy to be a couch GM these days. It's kind of crazy that, you know, the audacity people have nowadays to call out these organizations, albeit to their 100, 200 followers, but still, it's kind of disrespectful.
Well,
you know,
you know, here's the problem. It's not just, you know, a dude with 100 followers or whatever. It's NFL.com. It's CBS Sports. You know, it's all the major outlets that are listing edge as their primary need, right? And talking about why they need to trade down. They only have 5 picks. They need more players. Blah, 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 blah. So, again, if they're identifying those two things as the number one and number two priorities that they feel the Commanders need. But what if the Commanders and inside guys who spend 100 hours a week grinding tape and scouting and putting up boards and in meetings and watching all sorts of film and discussing constantly this for months, what if they feel, we feel pretty good about what we've done in free agency at the edge, and we know there's still a group of veteran free agents left to go. We'd rather take our chances that way, or maybe the right guy that they wanted was already gone, which, again, very likely, and maybe they would have gone that way if that guy was there. And then as far as the trade down goes, they said, well, maybe, you know, like with Connerly at 29, like Josh Simmons went a couple of spots below to Kansas City, who moved up with who swapped spots with Philadelphia, and maybe they didn't like they said. Well, the justification for that was there was a divide between where the tackles were at that point and where the tackles were in the rest of the draft, and they said, well, maybe they didn't like Simmons, so they went with Connerly, who they clearly thought higher of. One, two. Maybe they said, well, even though Simmons is still out there and maybe he's not a terrible player, we might drop down into the top of the second round and he might be gone too. So there's all sorts of games and tricks that you can play. And again, we don't know what was presented to them via trade. We also don't know what their evaluation was on, say, like, again, a guy like Simmons in comparison to Connerly. We don't know that. So while it looks bad on the surface, and everybody then uses that to evaluate their draft classes and their draft grades, maybe it's not, again, how they view it. And I would tend to say, okay, and this is something that I've kind of learned along the way, I would tend to say, you know what? If I trust in these people and they have a track record of, for the most part, doing the right thing and the common sense thing, which I think these guys do, then we have to say, okay, they must know more about this situation than we do, than you and I, Marcus, Chris, and the rest, and NFL.com and CBSSports.com know. So I think that's just where we're at. Good call, Marcus. Thank you. I appreciate you. My guy Ben Conti at FatPoet10 says you like Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, and he's right. That's who it was. I just couldn't think of the name. Thank you, Midnight Rider. Again, I would just say this, right? We have no idea how they thought of Simmons, who went a couple of spots after. We have no idea how they thought of, oh, hey, the pass rusher that went a couple of spots before us, he was ranked higher than Connerly. And if he was there, you know, just because Donovan Ezeraku went to the Cowboys in the middle of the second round doesn't mean they thought as highly about Ezeraku as you did. And ultimately, we've got to trust them. All right, we got to take a timeout. That's what we got to do. More of your calls coming straight up. Stay tuned with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
So that's the problem with the Knicks. And that's the problem with the Phoenix Suns. And that's the problem with Chris Russell. He don't want to listen.
I do want to listen, Paulie, when somebody's got something good to say. Maybe that's the problem. 301-230-0980. AMAX on the other side of the glass. Be nice to him when you call in. And I don't know why the lights all went out in the building. We're out in the bullpen. And now they're just back on. Weird. Hopefully we're still on the air. I think we are.
Sounds fine.
The lights are going off and on.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like, I don't know, kind of feels like a wrestling event or something like that. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls here. Talk to DC and Waldorf. What up, DC? How are you, pal?
Man, I'm excellent. Russell, how are you, brother?
I am doing good. Good to hear from you.
That's good. So it's funny. We always want to do these draft grades and critique and criticize. All of those dudes that we're talking about hasn't played one down in the NFL, so we don't know anything that they're going to do. But if you're going to take a total look at the draft, we should look at the picks we traded for proven commodities in the NFL that we know about and what they could do. And then we could put our draft grades against other people's. But being in the top five in the rating of draft picks, I don't see why people are complaining. They still got to play on the field, so we should give them time. And we've seen since this regime has been here, the free agent and the picks that we've made have produced. Some produce more than others. Some produce way more than others. And we got to give it time. You know what I'm saying?
We do have to give every draft class time, and it's more than just one year, right? I mean, some might say, oh, Dominic Hampton is a bad draft pick, or Jordan McGee is a bad – well, no, just because they didn't play a lot in their rookie year. I mean, a career is not made in a rookie year. Sometimes you don't get more than that chance, but sometimes you do, right? Oftentimes, if you're a draft pick of a team, you're going to get more than a year unless you're completely incompetent and completely clueless. So we've got to see – all right, at least through this year, what last year's draft class was really all about besides Jaden and so on and so forth. And to your point,
right
that the guys that they took, it's not necessarily the guys that they took that people are criticizing. It's, I think, the philosophy of, oh, everybody identified edge, they didn't get one, and everybody identified trade down, and they didn't do that.
That's the thing. Everybody identified edge. And I agree. I was looking for a DN. But then when we reflect, if we sit and reflect for one moment, we all thought they wanted edge.
it was a lot of edges in this draft, but only two really stood out. One went early in the draft, and the other one that would have went early in the draft didn't go until the late second round because he had off-the-field issues, and he's from the area. So I was kind of leery, like, he'll be close to home. If he really had issues around this area, should we draft him? I think Dan Quinn and the environment would help him, but he's still close to home. So I would have loved to have had him, but since they didn't pick him, I guess they feel like it's a little too much. Because think about it, Norfolk or wherever he's from is about a two-hour ride away. So his friends or whoever that could have him be unruly will be nearby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and just simply putting him with money, and you're talking about Mike Green, you know, putting him with money in Ashburn. You know, it's easy to find trouble if you really want to find trouble. It's not hard. It's not hard to avoid trouble. I mean, you know, you just stay out of bad situations. You know, it's interesting, though, you know, because, again, what we don't know is what other teams found out, right? Clearly, right, he went to Baltimore at the end of the second round. I mean, clearly they felt comfortable enough with making that investment. Mm-hmm. But other teams did not, and a lot of other teams did not, and nobody seems to have a problem with that because of the reported background. But we don't know what was in that background. We don't know what other teams found out.
It's two more things I want to say. First of all, Mike Green, I don't know any of his background, so I'm not trying to throw any salt on his name, but that's what was being said. I respect the fact that he stood up like a man and answered questions about it at the combine. And also, Baltimore is not a team that's up and coming. They've had their culture for a number of years now. And it wouldn't hurt them to cut bait with him after 1 year. With us, we need somebody that can play now. That's why we also got free agent DN that are proven commodities. They know that what they're going to get out of them. And I guess they thought they were serviceable instead of, like we said, waiting on a draft pick that may take 2 or 3 years to develop. You know what I mean? Like I said, the only two that was available that we know are standouts, Carter from Penn State, who went early, and then Green stayed around. Yep. So I think they were looking at it. We got these proven commodities. We know what we can get out of them, and we'll work on these other young guys. And if they show up, they show up. But we also got time to develop them.
I got you.
Another receiver when we got a receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed like it fit. It worked for us.
No, I got you. Good call as always, DC. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. We got to run. We got to do a trending alert, and then back to your calls. We still got to get to Shedeur Sanders. We'll mix in the NFL draft talk, obviously, from a Commanders draft class perspective, what we've talked about as well. If you want to get to the stadium still, I know some guys want to chime in on that. Nothing new there. The mayor was on with the junkies this morning. It was a very positive, rosy picture, as you would expect. I totally get why they're trying to do it. I don't know. As I said yesterday, I'm very worried about Phil Mendelson, and we've invited him on the show. I haven't heard back from him yet. There's others that are involved. Charles Allen, invited him on the show, haven't heard back yet. Hopefully one of those will turn around. The bottom line is it's far from a done deal. And a lot of people are acting like it's a done deal, but it's far from a done deal. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll start with the NFL, where the Commanders have indeed made it official. They have released Zane Gonzalez, and they have also signed to a one-year deal. Matt Gay, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts, won a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams. So making a big move at kicker, $4-plus million guarantee, according to Tom Pelissero and other reports. For Gay, who comes over from the Indianapolis Colts. He was released a couple of weeks ago. Meanwhile, elsewhere and around the NFL, you have Deontay Johnson, who had a merry-go-round of a year last year. Carolina, Baltimore, Houston, back to Baltimore. Now signs with the Cleveland Browns. And how about this? J.K. Dobbins, Elijah Moore of the Los Angeles Chargers getting UFA tenders. They were both unrestricted free agents, and they got tenders from the Chargers and the Browns, and both players will still be able to apply to the compensatory draft formula in 2026 if they sign with another team before July 22nd, but the tender value is 110% of the player's previous year salary. So interesting moves there. George Kittle with a four-year, $76.4 million contract from the NBA. It was a disappointing end of the season for the Sacramento Kings, but they've now named Doug Christie as their new and permanent head coach. He was serving as their interim coach. They went 27-24 in his time under them. And Shaquille O'Neal is becoming the general manager of Sacramento State. How about that? Nats and Phillies tonight. Get it going at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Always tough. 6:45. First pitch, 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app, Mackenzie Gore. He has not fared well in Philadelphia against Zach Wheeler. Your pitching matchup, and that's what's trending.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's get to a couple more calls here, and then we're going to turn the page to Shedeur Sanders and that mess, because I have, a different spin on it than most, and I think it certainly deserves our attention in a different way than what we were able to give it certainly yesterday and even Friday when he slipped out of the first round. I guess Connor Lee was the first round pick. Josh Connor Lee was on 106.7 with G&D just a little bit ago. AMAC was telling me, and he said he was one of the guys that got a prank call. Now, I was not told that yesterday by somebody in the NFL, but, you know, maybe it happened. We know Shedeur Sanders did. There's already been a confirmation about that. We know that. All right, let's get a couple of calls in here. Let's go to Lap in D.C. What up, Lap? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster?
What's up, Lap?
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question about the stadium. Do we know if it's going to be a dome or a retractable stadium?
Yeah, we know it's going to be a dome. We do not know if it's going to be retractable or not. But I would, as we talked about a bunch yesterday, I would tend to guess that it's not going to be retractable just from the standpoint of how much more that adds to the cost. But we asked mayor's officials and team officials yesterday, and they said they did not have that information at this point.
Okay, because would that be tricky to host the Olympics there, though, right, if it's not retractable?
No.
Because I know we want to get some of the major sporting events there.
Right.
I'm sure with the, you know, we can get a Super Bowl.
Well, you're saying tricky with the Olympics. You're saying tricky Olympics wise, like for opening and closing ceremonies. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I thought with the track and field stuff, you needed to be outside.
So I don't know if that's a rule, but generally speaking, I don't remember one that was inside. To your point. That being said, with the Olympics in Los Angeles coming up in 2028, is it 2028 or 2026?
No, I guess they have a dome, right?
Yeah. Well,
they have a dome.
Well, they do, but I don't know where they're doing the opening. I think they're doing the opening and closing ceremonies, I believe, at LA Memorial Coliseum, which is, you know, an homage to the Olympics of the past. But I have to double 2028. I have to double check that. But the point being is, I don't think you're getting a Summer Olympics here in Washington, D.C. for a long, long time. I mean, you're talking about probably 20 years down the road. More think the NCAA Final Four, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, concerts, big-time concerts. Not that they don't get big-time concerts here, but again, Taylor Swift, just to use her as an example, because she's the biggest female star in the world, she skipped not only Washington, but also skipped Baltimore. And the closest she came was Philadelphia. So if you have a new stadium, not that she, again, doesn't perform out in outdoor stadiums, but if you have a new stadium with a beautiful translucent dome, even if it's not retractable, you can absolutely have Taylor Swift, even if it's in the summer, right? Because Lord knows we're going to have air conditioning in the place, right? So, yeah.
You're right about that. I just want us to benefit from, getting more opportunities for those major sporting events. And also, Rooster, I have a question. Was, do you think with the team coming back to D.C., some of the fans that left because of the name change, like I know Sabah made a big deal about the name, you think fans like that will probably come back because we'll be back in D.C., if everything works out?
I think it's more likely that people will eventually get over the whole Redskins name change and then the Commanders name, which they seem to hate, or many seem to hate. I think it's more likely with the team coming back to RFK, yes. Is it definitive? No. Like Dr. Sabah says, she will never, Athens, same thing. They will never support Commanders, whatever. I love them both. I disagree. Wow. I disagree with them both. But I mean, I can't tell them how to choose to spend their money or how to live or anything like that.
If you're a fan of the team, especially if they win or lose or draw, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've been a part of name changes. I mean, the Nats, you seen the Wizards. You know what I'm saying? But we're fans. If you're fans of the team, it shouldn't matter. I mean, and it does suck. You will want ownership to give the fans some say-so in the name change, but we never really factored into it. They already have what they want. So, I think that's terrible,
Yeah, but I got Dubai, you.
If Tyler Heineke was the quarterback, you'd probably still root for him.
Well, yes. And I would just say that's part of the charm of Dr. Sabah is what I would say to that. I appreciate you, Lap. Thank you. Let me run so we can get to Raymond, and then we're going to get into Shador Sanders on the other side. And I want you to hear some audio that AMAC clipped off for us. That's a little bit longer. We'll do that after 3 o'clock, but it's going to kind of, I don't know, somewhat blow your mind, I guess. Maybe a little bit. Maybe not. Let's get to Raymond in Maryland. What's up, Raymond? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rooster?
What's up, Raymond?
My question was kind of around along the same lines as that last one, but I was thinking, with the culture being the old culture, old school culture being outside and in the snow and in the rain, kind of like Pittsburgh, Buffalo, them teams is kind of like lunch pail and grimy, right? And so if the new stadium, let's say Jaden Daniels said, I don't want that. I want AstroTurf, and I don't like that old culture. Does he have enough power right now to make them even consider it changing the like culture versus Jaden's comfortability? Hmm. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Listen, if Jaden Daniels respectfully did it the right way and said, look, we really, really, really should consider X, Y, and Z, not just that, but sure, why wouldn't you listen to your franchise stud quarterback? Now, does that mean you automatically do it? No, I don't think you automatically do it. I think you have to have reason. Like Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder refused to do it, even though there was many, many, many calls, because they thought even though it was much easier maintenance-wise and therefore lower investment-wise in terms of maintenance, they thought it led to more injuries. I mean that's kind of the challenge that a lot of these ballparks or stadiums have is, there seems to be certainly some evidence that like field turf is worse than natural grass, but yet again, natural grass is harder to maintain, and divots and all of that stuff can certainly come back and haunt you. But I've seen in field turfs, if it's not the right composite material, if it's not the right quote-unquote field turf, it gets chewed up and separated, and there's ridges, and there's all sorts of problems. I remember being in Houston week one of 2014 at whatever they call that field. They used to call it Enron
NRG?
Field. NRG Stadium. And thank you, AMAC. And I was on the field after the game. This was Jay Gruden's first game as a head coach. And there was just these massive craters of, like, ridges in the field after the game. And this was after an offseason filled of controversy where I think it was Jadeveon Clowney got hurt the previous year in on that field, and people were bitching and moaning about the field turf. And, you know, so, again, I don't have the obvious answer, but I think if Jaden did something respectfully, privately, quietly, what have you, meaning he didn't have, you know, mom go out and run around and do billboards and say things loud and making a... If he didn't do that, which I can't imagine he would do, then I think they would absolutely strongly consider whether they would do it or not. That I don't know. Does that answer the question?
Understood. Maybe.
Appreciate it.
I hope
that answered the question. I know that was a long-winded way or explanation, but you get what I'm saying. It's a tough decision. It really is. Now, once you're indoors, in the new stadium, especially in the new stadium, it will almost surely be field turf unless it's the retractable roll-in grass that they have in warmer weather climates like SoFi Stadium, like Arizona and Vegas. I think they have it in Vegas. I'm not 100% sure. I know they have it in Arizona. I believe they have it at SoFi Stadium where they actually grow the grass outside and then they roll it in on game day. Maybe that can be part of it. I don't know, but we'll have to see. But if they're inside a dome and they don't have that, then they almost surely are going to have field turf by 2030 if this stadium gets built. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll start on Shedeur Sanders. We'll get into him next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so just wrapping up hour number two, and we'll continue this in hour number three. You'll hear some interesting audio, is how I would say, from the sister of Jason Taylor, the Hall of Famer. And he just had his son drafted by the New York Jets. And Joy Taylor, who is a television talk show host on FS1, who has had some controversial moments not too long ago. But you will hear her thoughts, and what she's basically saying is a major problem on Shedeur Sanders coming up. It's a little bit long, so we have to play it after 3 o'clock. That being said, I am, and I know you guys are too, I am absolutely exhausted from all of these people that think they know more than 32 other NFL teams. No, you don't. I don't, you don't, AMAC doesn't, you don't. If it's one team, okay. You maybe argue and say, you know what? They don't deserve to be trusted. They're a bunch of nincompoops. They have a terrible history. But 32 NFL teams passed and passed and passed and passed on Shedeur Sanders until the fifth round and pick 144 when Cleveland, who had already taken a quarterback and has 5,000 crappy ones on their roster, decided to take Shedeur to end America's long national nightmare. And then we found out maybe some of the reasons why. We should have known them before. It's very, very, very interesting. Tom Pelissero put out, the week leading up to the draft, a big quarterback expose, unnamed quotes from personnel executives and GMs and whatnot. And they were scathing on Shedeur Sanders. They were scathing comments on Shedeur Sanders. of course, unnamed, but Tom Pelissero of NFL.com is not making that up. The point being is, I thought he could go in the second round. I didn't think he would last past the first. Man, was I wrong. But how wrong was Mel Kiper Jr.? How wrong was everyone else that had Shedeur Sanders in the top 10? How wrong were these people? How much did they overlook to protect Daddy Dion? To make sure that they didn't cross Daddy Dion? Because Daddy Dion's watching. Daddy Dion has his eyes on you, and he won't help you, and he won't give you information. If you dare to criticize Daddy Dion, Sonny Shedeur, or Sonny Shiloh, Daddy Dion is in control of everything, except what 32 other teams thought this past weekend. More on that coming in straight ahead on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.